If you have your Bibles available, please keep your fingers in those three passages that we've read from Matthew, Mark and Luke, because we're going to be referring back to them over the next few minutes. Now, I know some of you here fairly well. In fact, one person I know extremely well, and that's my wife. I know other of you passing, and some I don't know at all. And you can say the same about me. Some of you know me very well. Some of you know me a little, and some of you don't know anything about me at all this morning. But as we sit and gather here this morning, we have a number of things in common. Firstly, I trust at this point we're all awake. If we're not, then I'm doing something very wrong. We're all aware. In short, we're all alive. We all have life. So if we have life, we have happiness, we have delights, and we take pleasure in what we do. We have food and homes that we come from, dry beds that we got out of this morning. We have more than enough to be thankful for. We have all those things in common. Do any of us have any problems this morning? Are you sitting here and thinking that's all very well, but you don't know what I'm going through? And you're right, I don't. In fact, is there anyone here this morning who has never had a problem? If you have, please put your hand up and come and tell us the secret. Because there aren't many that manage to live through life without any problems. We have different sizes of problems and difficulties that we face. Perhaps you got up this morning, put your shoes on, and a lace broke. That's a problem. Perhaps you've broken a nail or chipped a tooth. They're problems. They're inconveniences. Perhaps a button came off or a zip broke. These are things that we take as inconveniences. But I'm not talking about those so much this morning. We're talking about larger problems, health, money, relationships, storms of life. That's what we refer to them as, crises that we face. In fact, if you've been paying any attention to the media lately, you'll see that the politics of this country is going through a storm in the past few weeks. But there are two types of storm that we face. Have you ever faced a storm where you're carried along by a situation that you feel completely and totally helpless and out of control? Do people do things or a situation that develops and you feel completely alone? You feel isolated. You feel as if no one cares and that no one understands. What helps in those situations? Well, some go for distractions, for drink, for drugs, for escapism. Some literally or figuratively run away. But that doesn't help, really, because the problem is still there. The difficulty hasn't been dealt with. You might say, well, I turn to my friends or my family, and they can listen, and sometimes they can help or maybe alter a situation, but not always. But it is good to have support of those around us and to be a support to those that are struggling. So that's the first type of storm. And the second type of storm is the type that's given a name by the Meteorological Office. We had Storm Eunice last year. There are positions where we're in a position of real fear, where there's a fire, a flood, an earthquake, a tornado. The power of the wind that we've witnessed to take off roofs, to remove buildings, to drive snow into drifts that become impenetrable. And in those kind of storms, what helps? What helps us then? A rescuer, or a place of safety. If your house catches fire, you want the fire brigade to turn up. You want a fireman to come and to extinguish that blaze. If you're on a boat, like our passages that we've read, and the sea is rough, you want a lifeboat. You want somebody to come to your rescue, to remove you from the danger that you face. And that's the position that the disciples were in the passages that we've read this morning. They faced a real storm and a danger. And doubtless they had other storms in their lives, the problems that they faced. Earning a living, having sufficient food. But what we've read here this morning is not a story, it's a factual event. This is history. This actually happened. And the three readings, if you were paying attention this morning, you'd note that they were slightly different. They had a common theme, but they were slightly different. And maybe some would sit here this morning and say, well, see, it proves the Bible can't be right. But if three people witness the same event and write down an account of that event, you will find three very different focuses on what was witnessed. I can give you an example of this. If you have heard the story of the blind men that were examining an elephant, and one guy says, well, this animal is like a tree. I've got hold of a tree trunk. And another man says, no, this is shiny and smooth. This is like a spear, this animal. Another one says, no, I've got a hold of something that's like a wing. It must be able to fly. And another chap says, no, I've got hold of a fluffy tail. This must be something like a squirrel. All of those men have got the right approach to what they were experiencing. But they all describe an elephant in a different area of its existence. And so these accounts this morning give us slightly different takes on what actually happened. And we've got four points that we're going to look at through these passages. And the first point is an invited embarkation. In Matthew 8:23, we read, now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. In Mark, on the same day, when evening had come, he said, let us cross over to the other side. That's the invitation. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And Luke says, now it happened on a certain day that when he got into a boat with his disciples, he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. Note here, it was Jesus who said, it was his idea, it was his invitation. He knew the future and he was in complete and total control of it. He knew what was coming and he invited those disciples into the boat. Notice it was the disciples. It was a select group. It wasn't to everyone there. It wasn't to the entire multitude. Because Mark says, now when he had left the multitude, they got into the boat. When we face the storms in life that we've thought about earlier, we can be assured that he's in control. If we know and love him as our Saviour, nothing takes him by surprise in our lives. It's his invitation. And he knows and knew what was coming. The disciples went willingly. We're not told that they were grudging. We're not told they didn't want to go. But they went willingly because they were blissfully unaware of what was coming. An invited few went with Jesus with no special preparations. We're told he went as he was. They didn't take food. They didn't take any form of special provision. They just went as they were. And when the storms come, we on occasions have no warning or preparation. Sometimes it's a phone call, a visit, something completely out of the blue. Maybe an exam result that we weren't expecting. Maybe not getting a job that we really wanted. maybe an upset in a relationship. These things come without warning or preparation. But we're told they do come. John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." And that's the man that's in the boat. But the disciples didn't have any special preparation, but they did lack something. They lacked sufficient, strong faith. Jesus slips into the background, slips into the stern of the boat, lays down and goes to sleep. He's still there and he's still conscious of the situation and the future, but as a man, he's weary and he's tired. And Mark says, "And other little boats were also with him." We may feel that we're the only ones in the storms that we face, but we're not. Others may have experienced or be experiencing something very similar from a slightly different perspective. And we need to remember that this morning. It's not all about me, 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 which is the society in which we live. We can feel very alone. And Elijah felt very alone when he ran away. But he was reminded by God himself that he's not alone. And my friends, neither are we. We have each other and we have our Saviour in the boat with us when we face these storms and difficulties of life. So, the invited embarkation. And secondly, we come on to an impassioned plea. Matthew 8:25, "Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.'" Mark 4:38, "And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And they came to him in Luke and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.'" Now remember, these guys were hardened fishermen. They were used to this lake. They knew what this was capable of. They'd experienced it before. But they must have been scared by what was taking place. It must have been bad. The boats were filling with water. But you'd think they'd seen it all before. Perhaps they'd even lost friends on this lake in the past. This windstorm had something different about it. And these guys were scared. Do we feel the same way in the problems and difficulties that we face? Do we feel that we're out of control, that there's something different about this circumstance? We feel as if we're all alone and we can't alter it. Do we feel the same as the disciples who said, "Don't you care, we're going to drown. Lord, save us." Now just think about that question for a minute. Don't you care? I reckon this has got a rate as one of the most stupid questions ever asked in human history. Just think about it for a moment. Who asks it, and to whom have they asked this question? Don't you care? The disciples asked it to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in man made flesh. Of course he cared. He was there in the first place. And if you ask that question, "Lord, don't you care?" be reminded that he died for you. He came and bore your sins on that cross. Of course he cares. He didn't send them out onto the lake on their own and saying, "You go over to the other side." He said, "Let us go." He was in the boat with them. Effectively, if they drowned, so did he. But he wouldn't let them be drowned or swamped. And neither will he according to his will for each one of us. He has a purpose for putting us through what we go through. And there was a purpose for these disciples to experience this storm that we're looking at this morning. Mark says just a little thing when he says, when evening had come, they got into the boat. So I surmise that it's probably dark, and things seem so much worse at night, don't they? When you're lying in your bed, maybe not able to sleep, staring into the darkness, thinking about the problems that you face or in the discomfort that you're experiencing. These difficulties play on our minds and rob us of sleep. But be assured that even in the watches of the night, our Saviour is there in the boat with us. So be encouraged if this is your experience. We have one who grants his peace to us, no matter how violent the storm that we're experiencing. Thirdly, an unexpected response. An unexpected response. What do you think the disciples expected when they woke Jesus up in the boat and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" Do you think they expected sympathy? Did they want him to panic with them? Or did they expect platitudes? "It'll be all right, there. Did they expect abandoned ship? Well, we might have that in this day and age, but there was no Coast Guard, there was no lifeboat, and all of the other little boats in the group with them were facing exactly the same threat and exactly the same storm. So what did they expect him to do? Well, I'm going to put to you this morning, I don't think they really knew what to expect. But this was what the Lord did. They woke him up, he got up, and he spoke. He spoke to the elements, and he said but a few words, "Peace, be still." Reminds me of the words in Genesis, "Let there be light," etc. It demonstrated his power that immediately the storm ceased. It demonstrated who he was, that he was in ultimate and complete control. This didn't take time. This storm didn't abate over half an hour or an hour or so and the waves gently and gradually decrease. Not at all. This was instant. And why do I say that? Because he then went on to speak to the disciples, and it was what they witnessed that surprised them. He spoke to the disciples and he said to them in Matthew, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Mark, he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And in Luke, he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" In Mark, he said, "Why are you so afraid?" It's all right to be concerned. It's all right even to be frightened. But you shouldn't be this afraid. You behave like you have no faith. Your fear prevailed over your faith. They did have faith. They believed Jesus was the Christ. But in this situation, in this storm, their fear overcame their faith. Think about the number of times that the Bible says, "Do not be afraid." It's hundreds of times. "Fear not." Why does it say that? Because we are, and we do. We are afraid and we are fearful. They had faith because they called on the Lord Jesus Christ. They called on the one person that was able to do something about the situation that they faced. But they needed more and a stronger faith to overcome and to trust that he was in control even when he was asleep. And my friends, so do we in the situations that we face. We may have faith and we may believe that Jesus is the Lord, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. And it's all very well to believe that out there, but it's when the crises come that the rubber hits the road as a Christian? Does it really affect you when you face disaster, bereavement, problems, storms or difficulty? When you're in fear of your life, do you come to the Lord in faith? Or do you try and seek your own will in your own way? So the disciples were spoken to, and this was their response. When all was calm, and we've already thought about how immediate that was what shocked them. That in Matthew, the men marvelled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" In Mark, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And they were afraid and marvelled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now these guys were scared before. The storm was raging around them, the boat was filling up. But they were properly terrified now. This was a different layer of fear. They were in complete and total awe of who this man was. The power that he demonstrated in just a few words frightened them. This was unbelievable, but they'd experienced it. The power he displayed in that difficult situation showed them that he was who he claimed to be. In impossible situations, whatever they are, he is able to bring calm by his peace, his presence, his word, and his power. And my friends, he can do that for us here this morning. By his presence, he lives with us. By his word that we have open before us. By his power that we experience in our lives. So be encouraged if you're facing difficulties this morning, that this same Jesus is able to do the same for us according to his will. Fourthly, and lastly this morning, we have an uneventful disembarking. Matthew says, when they come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes. Mark, and then the boat came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when they had come out of the boat, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, Luke says, which is opposite Galilee. They arrived safely on the other side. When Jesus says, "Let's go," he is never going to leave the journey half done. He will always complete it. The disciples doubted that in the middle of the lake, but nevertheless, even as a result of their doubting, and not because of it, they arrived safely on the other side, because Jesus was in control and they weren't. And he still is. They were saved because they arrived safely on the other side, and so can we be. So in conclusion, do we feel the same as those disciples? Do we try and do the right thing and keep a straight course? Do we try and do our readings and prayer each day? We attend a place of worship. We do what we feel we should. But the storms come, the winds blow, whether it's job, finance, interest rates, health, family, future, or dare I say even problems within the church with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we feel knocked and slammed about? Do we feel fearful and fear of failure or of drowning? Asaph said in Psalm 73 verse 2, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." Do we call out, "Don't you care?" Do we call out, "Why me? Why now?" Wouldn't it be easier if it was always calm in our lives? If things were always smooth? If there was never any storm or difficulty? Well, you might be sitting there this morning and saying, "Yes, it would be," but I'm going to say the opposite. No, it wouldn't. And I'll give you a reason for that. Because in the storms, in the difficulties, in the problems, that's when our faith is strengthened. as a Christian, we realise that Jesus is who he said he was, and he can do what he said he would do. Jesus is in the boat with us in the storm, even if we feel that he's asleep or he's far from us. He's there and he's able if we call upon him in faith. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how we grow. We grow in grace by experiencing the nearness of our Saviour when we go through storms and difficulties. He is able to overcome any storm that we face, because, as I say, he is in control. It's not us. We feel in society today that we're so advanced, that we have so many methods of medical advancement, methods of communication, so many wonderful things. We feel as a society that we're authors of our own destiny, and we really aren't. Just a small hiccup, as it were, can throw us completely off. Our faith will grow when it's exercised. It's like a muscle at a gym. In difficult circumstances, we pray, we wait, we read, and we trust. Because we have to. Because we can't get out of the boat, because that's no advantage. I remember that when Esther was diagnosed with breast cancer, my prayer life certainly improved a great deal, because it needed to, because there was nothing I could do to make my wife better. There was nothing that I could say, nothing I could do, nowhere I could go to improve things. But the only one I could go to was the one that was in complete control. And my friends, when we face difficulties like these, and it might not be a cancer diagnosis, it may be something completely different from you. You know what you face, but your faith is strengthened when you exercise it. If you go to the gym on a daily or a weekly basis, if you go swimming, if you go cycling, if you go walking, your body is strengthened, your muscles increase, your stamina improves. And that's exactly the same for our faith. Faith is a gift from God. It doesn't come from us, it comes from him. But it's down to us to exercise it, to use it, and to test it. I remember once, many years ago, I had the opportunity to go abseiling. Now, for those of you that aren't aware, you stand at the top of a very high structure, you have a belt around your waist and a rope, and you basically jump off the structure. And the rope supports you, and you feed it through a figure of eight, and you descend safely to the bottom. That's the enjoyment, in quotes, of abseiling. You need to be belted in, and you need to be connected to the rope. If you just jump off without the rope, it's not going to end well. The same as a Christian. We need to rely on that rope. We put our whole weight when abseiling on a rope. And as a Christian, we rely upon and totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our rope. He supports us. He keeps us. But one thing I would say to you on that is you can only hang on a rope when you're abseiling. It's impossible to push it. Gravity takes over. You can't push a rope. You can only hang on it. You can only pull on it. And that's exactly the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't tell him in prayer what he should do. You can lay before him what you would like, but always pray according to his will, because he knows best, because he knows the future and we don't. Now, you may be sitting here this morning and think, that's all very well and that's wonderful if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. But if you're not a Christian here this morning, then you face the storms of life alone. And you might say, but I have my friends and my family, but they might not always be there. You might say, I have my iPhone or my social media friends, but are they always there? We when you face the storms of life alone, you are in a terrifying position. But it doesn't have to be that way. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour if you don't know him this morning. And there is one way to come to him, and that is in repentance and faith. To say that you're sorry for the sins, for the wrongs that you've done, for what you've said, for what you've believed, and for what you've thought. To know that he is the only way of forgiveness. Jesus claimed of himself that he was the only way, and we need to accept that this morning if we're to know him as our Saviour. Believing that he was who he says he was, the Son of God. Believing that he died on the cross for our sins, and asking him for the forgiveness that he will surely give. The Bible says of itself, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one of my favourite verses in the scripture, because it's so true. If we confess, then he will do all of the rest of it. It's his work. It's his salvation. And then you'll no longer, if you do that, no longer face the problems of life alone, in this life or the next. He will be with us in the storms of life and bring us safely to the other side, in his time and in his way and for his glory. Amen.